This episode of our This Week in XR podcast is sponsored by Zapper. Zapper is one of the world's leading XR companies. Over the past 12 years, they've won numerous awards for memorable campaigns. They've democratized AR by making tools and SDKs that anyone can use. And they created Zapbox, the world's most affordable mixed reality headset. Most recently, Zapper worked with Unilever to create an enhanced QR code called Accessible QR, which enables packaged goods to speak to the blind and partially sighted. If you're thinking XR, give the team at Zapper a call or visit zapper.com to see how they can help you on your XR journey. Good morning, everybody. I'm Charlie Fink with Ted Chilowitz for This Week in XR. It's Friday, March 22nd, 2024. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Another Friday morning. Roni is not here.
Yeah.
It's his anniversary. Happy anniversary to Roni and Deb.
Happy anniversary to Roni and Deb. Deb was very helpful at our live podcast at South by Southwest that our viewers will get to. Well, the audio is up already, but the viewers will get to watch the podcast in a couple weeks, I guess.
I didn't get a lot of exposure to her there, but two things about her did not surprise me. One is that she's kind of a hippie and super creative.
Yes.
And of course, the other is that she was so anxious to help us with the arts and crafts aspect of our show.
Yes.
So she's turned out to be a wonderful creative person and exactly who I thought Roni would be married to if I had given that any thought.
That's good. And I know we're telegraphing something that's going to air on our podcast in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But already I've gotten a couple of notes from friends that have emailed Tim Cook. You know, you can email him tcook@apple.com. And apparently he looks at his emails and or he has a staff that like culls through all of them. And
for the greatest hits.
Yeah. So you never know. We could have some impact.
We have a great guest today. Weili Dai. Yes. Weili Dai may be the most powerful person we've ever had on this podcast.
He is a force to be reckoned
with. She's the co-founder of Marvell Technologies.
Yes.
Interesting story, but we'll save it for when she shows up. There's a lot of news this week.
Yes.
A lot of news.
She'll remember, but I've met her a couple times, you know, because I've been involved in that, circumventing that industry of how you make chips for media stuff. So.
Great, because I don't know a lot about that. So it'll be a much better informed podcast with at least you here. But I'm sorry, Mark. I'm sorry, Roni's not here. There was a lot of China news this week, and also news about the Saudis crashing the AI party with $40 billion
to toss at it. Right, so that's not insignificant.
So if you own stock in one of the Magnificent Seven or some approximation thereof, this is great news for you because most of that money is going right into the stock market. You know, they'll make some eye-popping venture deals with 5 or 10% of it, which is still a ridiculous amount of money. But you know, the Saudis are not keeping their money at home. You know, they're doing some fantastic futuristic development projects, but a lot of that money is going to give them geopolitical power.
Yeah, well, and that's a long-term strategy for as long as you and I have been in some sort of career arc. The Saudis have been with an understanding that this oil thing probably won't last forever, and they need to diversify, and they need to have they want to take their capital, enormous capital, and put it in different sectors. They put it in electric vehicles, solar energy. They put it a lot in entertainment. They put it in Magic Leap. They put it in many, many different things.
I know, and Roni, he told us so much stuff about the relationship of Magic Leap and Saudi. I won't even, because I'm not sure what he really would reveal if he were here. But he has a lot of experience with them as investors and I guess as friends with some. So he has a lot of feelings about it. It's a very, very different culture and a different business culture. So I think we'll have more clash of civilizations over that for sure. Not to bury the lead, NVIDIA GTC was earlier this week. I was there and I was also at the Game Developers Conference.
Oh, yes, you were in person at these two conferences, right? So you got the vibe. You got the feel.
I got the vibe. Nerd Woodstock. Well, the climax of Nerd Woodstock starts at the beginning when Jensen gives his keynote. And I saw his keynote at SIGGRAPH. This one was even grander, and he takes the stage like a rock star. I mean, this
He always
guy,
wears that leather coat. Yeah, he's got his whole little shtick going on.
with his leather jacket and his silver hair, and it's just lit perfectly, and the screen behind him is, very high resolution, big screen. Clearly they've rehearsed it, and he is just burning with energy. And he stands up there like kind of Tony Robbins preaching. Now, the things he had to say were very compelling. Three of the big things I thought. So, thing number one, they have a new chip after in revealing this thing called Hopper chips in at SIGGRAPH. He comes in and they have a new one called Blackwell.
Well, it's
And
a whole new architecture, right? I mean, it's a whole
it's a giant, it's rooms full of computers, but there's a chip at the center of it, but it's not like a chip like Qualcomm shows
No, it's a
you.
big
It's a
honking thing.
big thing. And when you see all these things, I mean, they are massive. The cooling is built into them so that I guess you're not exactly having to blast air conditioners,
Correct.
but rather water. And of course, water is an issue in large scale compute also. He showed off some robots. They're working on programming humanoid robots and having the, language model and everything they need to think on board internally. So, it helps them learn things like how to use its hands. So that was pretty compelling. A lot of robotics companies there, a lot of autonomous driving stuff there, because all of that is going to be driven by some NVIDIA hardware.
Right. Well, I think to me, the biggest takeaway of this Blackwell architecture and all that they're showing around that is there's a goal set to lower the compute cost. You mentioned it, to lower the air handling, to lower the cooling, the thermals, and to make, because this like let's use AI for everything has become such a massive push in a massive industry. Nobody really talks about the compute tax, which I refer to, the cost of actually running all these compute cycles. And so at least they're actively working on finding a solution or finding a solve for that. And it has made them what now the third largest company on planet Earth, right? Which is kind of incredible for a company that started with very, very modest goals to like make video games look better. And here they are, the third largest company on planet Earth.
Yeah,
Kind of incredible.
right behind Microsoft and Apple. Interesting, but it's interesting just to talk about compute for a second. I read a thing, I put it under what we're reading in my column today. The freedom to compute. Right. So when you talk about compute, now we're no longer talking about apps on our smartphones. Now we're talking about something that is very large scale, very expensive, very exclusive. Only large companies can really afford the kind of AI we're going to be seeing from the large tech companies. The question is, how much compute am I entitled to? How much should it cost? Right. But you could easily see that we're developing into a have and have not economy
Yeah,
when it
this
comes
right,
to
exactly.
compute.
This is that separation of the haves and have-nots. And there was what I can't remember what it was called, but there was like this Internet Act. Do you remember this a number of years back where it was like, the sort of democratic, like everyone should be allowed to have same access to the internet. And what big companies were doing and still do is they are able to work with the providers, the data providers, to actually deliver. It's called net neutrality. Just remember, I just hit it. It's called the Net Neutrality Act. So the biggest companies in the world are able to get their data to you faster because they pay for it,
Right.
and the little companies can't compete because it takes too slow to load the pages. And it was a government initiative to sort of stop that from happening, which I think partially worked. I don't think it totally worked, but I think they gave it a shot anyway.
So, and up the street was the Game Developers Conference. So I spent, a day and a half at, or two days at NVIDIA, and probably the better part of a day at GDC. GDC, the Game Developers Conference, kicks off with the State of Unreal. I really can't, because of my back, tolerate standing in a long line, but everybody at the conference was in that line at 8 o'clock at night for 9:30 pre. I mean,
And
8 o'clock in the morning. No, it
Tim
was
Sweeney that
Kim
gave the keynote, right? It
Liberari.
was Kim. Yeah,
Yeah,
Kim's a
Kim
good friend, so
Liberari.
that's exciting.
Yeah, he did a very good job, and they presented the laundry list. I mean, for those of you who don't understand what's going on here, a game company called Epic has become the king of the game world because of this platform they created and that they rent to people to make AAA video games, console games. Most graphically intensive 3D applications go through Epic. Unity is popular, particularly for VR. It also is a platform for making AAA games, but it is favored by developers, particularly in mobile. It integrates their own ad server, so when you run those free apps on your phone and it makes you eat ads between levels, that's Unity at work. So Unity, not as big a presence as GDC. They've had a very hard time, even though they had a stellar public offering. Things have since gone kind of south for them. The company is smaller, the company is less ambitious, and Epic, which just keeps raising billions of dollars and making high-profile deals like the one they just made for the Disney Metaverse, just seems to get bigger and bigger. They are, by all intents and purposes, alongside of Roblox, the metaverse. Yes, I hear Web3 heads exploding, but if you go by what we all agreed was the definition of the metaverse, they are and you aren't. So that's just the fact of it. That could change, but
Yeah, well,
Magnificent
there's always
Seven.
someone waiting in the wings, right? And this is a thing that AI will touch in certain ways as well, and potentially add a little mix, a little something to the mix. But
I'm
you're
glad
right.
you mentioned that because AI is going to lead to the next Google and the next Meta and the next Microsoft. So it's really going to change the economy and also the landscape. And again, we're like frogs being boiled slowly. It starts out as room temperature, but then it gets hotter and hotter. So I think the impact of AI is just beginning. We're barely seeing it. I mean, again, back to the Saudis, that's what the $40 billion is for. So anyway, they State of Unreal, they big focus on user-generated content and Unreal Engine for Fortnite. So users are building their own worlds in Fortnite using a, I would say, beginner version of Unreal Engine, which is a little less complicated, doesn't have as many features or as much control, but is super adequate for building worlds in
Yeah, it's just a lot of
Fortnite.
pre-built stuff that they're able to build something very quickly and then see if there's an audience for it and test it. And there's what, like close to a
Exactly.
100,000
And they
of the
say, by the way,
world.
they say they've paid out to individual builders and companies that are colonizing Facebook
Yeah,
Creative over
hundreds of millions.
$300 million. So that's
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt them. It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
so and lots of other upgrades that are in the that are in the column. Oh, here's one, Ted. Bloomberg is reporting that Apple's going to use Google Gemini
Yeah.
On their phones instead of their own AI. They bought a company 2 weeks ago. People said, oh, that's their AI strategy. But now
Yeah.
they're looking at OpenAI from Microsoft. That was a rumor last week or 2 weeks ago. And now they're going to go with Gemini. By the way, Gemini, pretty good.
Yeah,
I
it's pretty good.
continue to use it and I think it's very good. I can't tell the difference between it and OpenAI. They both seem to do the exact same thing.
Well, and what's interesting about the Apple thing is a few months ago, there was all this hubbubaloo about this secretive that wasn't so secretive large language model strategy that Apple had, and they had a code name called Ajax for it.
Oh, that's right.
And they were working on this thing, Ajax, and people were like, oh, well, that's going to be the Apple of AI. It's going to have a different philosophy. It's going to kind of, do things a little differently, aka the Steve Jobs think different kind of mantra. And now maybe it looks like they're almost punting on that, or it didn't work out the way they thought it would. So they're just going to go with one of the other guys and incorporate that. That was a little surprising to me. I'm sure a lot of our listeners were a little surprised that
I
track this
wonder
stuff.
how they're going to do it. Maybe they're going to do it for a few years and then pivot to their own. But once
Yeah, I
you
don't know.
bake it in and apps get integrated, I don't know how you unbake it. So then they'd be competing with something that they injected into their ecosystem. So, but they do need to do something. The Android phones are going to get better and better and use AI, and I
Yeah.
think they could fall behind. People could
Well,
switch.
and Apple's in a little bit of this existential fight with the antitrust stuff now too, and
Oh, I
the way
know.
that they control the
I
store.
know.
So, for a company that's obviously very successful, number two in the world, they're going through a little bit of a moment now. And certainly, what we talked about, I know it's a little blip on the radar, but the Apple Vision Pro is certainly incredible in many ways, but it's not a home run. It
It's a
and uh, they're
developer kit. Come on. It was a developer device that they had to market as a consumer device. If they had marketed it as a developer kit, number one, they could have charged more and sold the exact same number, except now they've made it feel kind of exclusive.
Yeah, and Apple doesn't really do that, right? So this is the first time they almost show that they're trying to figure out how to do it without not doing it, right? So
Yeah.
that's
So
interesting.
anyway, for normal people doing it, go get a demo in the store and you'll get 75% of the benefit of owning one. Maybe in a year or two, there are a lot of people developing apps for it that
Yeah.
could be great. So
Yeah.
let's see. So last piece, and then let's bring in Willie. I don't want to let her wait.
Okay.
Well, two things. First of all, congratulations to our friend Kyle Jackson, who sold his sim
Yeah.
education simulation company to their largest strategic investor, Cornerstone. Cornerstone distributes their products already. So this kind of was, I think, waiting to happen. Kyle's a nice guy. He's a serial entrepreneur and an old friend of yours.
Yep. Yeah, it's very exciting for him. It's a nice step forward for him. Yeah.
So maybe he will invest in my startup. Okay, last
Okay.
one. Something that we were right about.
Yeah.
PlayStation has suspended the production of PlayStation 2 VR. There aren't enough PlayStation 5s in the wild. That was obvious. I don't know how many they thought they would sell.
But
And
they sold a lot of them. I mean, it's I don't I think that's an I can't imagine that's a real thing because they sold plenty of PS5s that if they wanted an installed user base, I think like you and I argued about this and kind of talked about it for a long time. You're really going to build a headset with a wire in the 2020 timeframe, like that has to connect to a console. It's a non-starter. It's not going to work, And I have one. I mean, it sits in my house like all my other VR headsets, but it is the
Well,
least used device of all my VR headsets for sure.
don't know. I think the Samsung Gear is your least used device.
Well, now, yeah, I mean, that's in the historical,
Or
but this is still a modern device connected to a modern
maybe the
infrastructure.
Lenovo Star Wars AR
Oh
head.
yeah, that's in a box for sure. Yeah.
All right, let's
Yeah.
bring Weili in.
Okay.
She is on time, and as always, we are not totally on time. I met her because she co-founded an XR.
Good morning. Hey,
Willie, thank you
how are
so much for
you?
coming.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm
I
looking
just
forward.
told Ted that I think you may be the most powerful, successful person we've ever had on this show.
Absolutely.
Oh, no. Humbly, I just love innovation, technology. So every day I'm learning.
I
Yeah. Well,
told
and
Ted.
wait. Yeah, go ahead, Charlie.
I told Ted that
Yeah.
I met you at CES, not this January, but the year before, because you co-founded a company called Meet Kai, run by a very smart guy named James Kaplan, who has been on our show. And so I thought, wow, this is validation for the metaverse when the co-founder of Marvell Technologies is stood. Doing a not buying, but starting from scratch, a company that builds essentially places in the metaverse. So that was a cute meet. And you guys know each other, I think.
Yeah, so we've met. I don't know if you remember. We definitely met during the Meet Kai stuff. We've had a couple of when I was at Paramount, we had a couple of Zoom calls
Yes.
when you were developing that, and even way before that, in a much younger version of me, you look totally the same, but in a totally different version of me. I worked for a company doing all the Apple integration for a company called AJA that was being built on FPGA chips, on Xilinx chips. And
Oh,
we
yes.
talked to Marvell a number of times, and we had met
Wonderful.
back then. So we have a long history together of understanding what chips will do. And I'm sure it's fascinating
Wonderful.
to you to watch the landscape of chip technology and all the things it touches. It's kind of amazing, right?
Wonderful. Pleasure meeting you, Ted, and nice to see you, Charlie.
So one thing I noticed, so I was doing a little homework yesterday, looking at your Wikipedia, and first of all, I want to get to the semi-professional basketball part of your biography. But I was going to ask you, you also, in addition to Meet Kai, are working on a chip startup.
Oh yes, actually multiple. My husband and I, in the last over 6 years, has been developing all the world leading technology. That if you look at today, you talk about the AI boom, all the fundamental building blocks, right? So when I say building blocks, meaning including the chiplet. I don't know the about 10 years ago, and my husband did a talk at ISCC. So over 6 years ago, my husband and I, we've been heavily investing in chiplet and semiconductor technology. And then, of course, over 5 years ago, I co-founded the Mikai for the software side, the AI, right? So if you think about now, looking back, the most recent investment and the company we called it, we found co-founded it called SiliconBox. And that's the advanced panel level packaging. And it's called it just in time. The reason I say this is my husband has been always passionate. How do you develop the best technology to help the industry? So always disruptive and advanced and thinking ahead. His vision always minimum 10 years or 20 years out. So what happened was, if you look at the today, a lot of technology we're using, and performance and very important, but not to forget power, cost, form factors is so key. If you look at the history of Marvell, the reason 1995, my husband and I started Marvell at our kitchen table, right? We want to build a wonderful company, a marvelous company. That's where the Marvell we came out. Oh, Marvell, right? So all the success, the reason we were able to build a global company and lead the world is because you just have the differentiation, right? So which means you have to do the best of the best technology. You have to leapfrog, not by a little bit, has to be many X better than what existed, right? Power, cost, because the cost is important, is because we're always driving for the global masses. We're not just say, okay, we have this great technology, it's for high end, but boy, if you want to drive the global of everybody can enjoy and leveraging the technology, you got to go to the masses. So those are very high bar. So 2015, my husband Sahar presented ISCC, right? The chiplet concept. He called the MUCHI, modular chip. Now, the good news was AMD, Mark Papermaster, the CTO, he's very thankful for my husband's innovation. And they were the only lonely company adopted. Now, as you know, technology, all it takes is somebody, leapfrog, and then you have a better chance to succeed. So that's why you can see they succeed, they're very happy, they lead and succeed in the x86 space, right? So now chiplet becomes mainstream. So about 3 years ago, I remember one day my husband said, I think we need to develop very advanced panel, large panel level packaging, and for all the way from the 3D, the very advanced AI data center, HPC, and for including 2D, where you can drive for the cost and masses because chiplet is happening.
So let's go back a couple of steps,
Sure.
because you mentioned you and your husband at your kitchen table. So I'm envisioning the two of you, and I'm trying to, I think it's really interesting for our listeners to learn what you and your husband studied in college, maybe even in high school. What was the thing, and are you both engineers by trade? Did you study computer science? How did it all develop that you were able to kind of see this vision and then bring it into the concept of a company strategy. And then that company obviously thrived and succeeded. But I think we'd like to know how it all happened before the kitchen table. And you
Oh,
said, let's
great.
make a company. What got you there?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Ted. Great question. So I'll start from my husband. My husband studied electronics when he was 12 years old.
There you go.
In
Okay.
fact, in my purse, I call it a MacGyver bag, I carry his radio repairman certificate, which I will send you guys a copy. You know, and he just a young kid and so passionate about, curious about technology and electronics. So he was the radio repairman at the age of 12.
That's amazing.
So, and then we, of course, met in Berkeley and he got a PhD. And my background, I did my computer science degree from Berkeley software. And that's where the software angle came. But
and
I learned.
What years was this? What time in the compute revolution? What?
Sure. So my husband and I were both in school. I got software degree in the mid-80s, 84, and then support my husband through all his PhD, and he graduated in 1988 with PhD.
Right. So computers weren't really mainstream yet. You were right at the right timing when you could see the future of everyone would be using these things. Like you said, that 10-plus year look-see. Because in the 80s, you know, we kind of forget how primitive the 80s were in terms of computers. I mean,
yes.
You know, we were still playing Pong and
that's
you know,
that's
base games
another
in an arcade.
No, I think
that's another.
The Nintendo One and the Sega Genesis represented advanced technology.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So, and then, you know, 95, because he was a guy kind of like always curious, want to invent and do something different. So, you know, I told him, you have a lot of knowledge. And after PhD, it's good to, you know, maybe work for a big company, gain some experience. But you're kind of guy like the MacGyver of the world, like to do your own thing. You know, when it's ready, I will support you. Let's do a company, because this is how innovator and creators, they do their own, right? They cannot be bosses in the big company and doing just a very well-defined project. So that was 1995. And I got to say, through all the history of building the company, 21 years we were running Marvell, and it is a lot of progress, accomplishment, deliver global companies, my husband invented one of the biggest inventor in the semiconductor industry. And then right now, still inventing. As we speak yesterday, he has a patent attorney. We're living in Las Vegas now, and he went to a patent attorney's office in Las Vegas and spent a couple hours because he got more ideas. So like every month he has some new inventions. He's doing some patents besides, you know, developing products. Now,
amazing. Well, yeah. And, you know, Marvell is a company people don't realize. People know names like Intel and AMD and certainly NVIDIA.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, obviously companies like Microsoft and Apple. But Marvell is in that class and in that caliber in terms of its global impact on the compute industry.
Yes.
And the devices, the micro devices that Marvell chips live in is stunning. It's like across almost every platform and every industry. And, you know, because primarily for moving communications very quickly through data ports, it's like, it's probably the most important company that a lot of people have never heard of because it's in everything. It's a little like Qualcomm. More people know about Qualcomm than Marvell, but they're very similar in terms of like, they just embed in everything. And that's the success of your company, right? It's amazing. Like
And I'll tell you, people, you know, a lot of time talk to me in the past, say, hey, Marvell, you're everywhere, you know, storage, networking, wireless, phone, TV, you know what? So it's, you're like everything. I say, yeah, well, let me just explain. Where the pizza dough? I say, you know, think about pizza. Where the dough, right? You can hold any type of toppings, you know, different sauces. And chocolate pizza is delicious too. So everybody was laughing. So because for many years, I always think that the fund, like a Marvell, we're focusing on long-term vision, focusing on foundation. So the pizza dough, whether or not it's a dip, deep dish of HPC or data center or the client type of platform and the technology we build, high performance, cost-effective, low power. Now, as you know, more gadgets born so many, you know, all these years, and the power becomes a so critical key.
Yeah, the power consumption, that's power draw. Yeah.
So all the technology now we're developing very much focusing on power, cost, and technology, of course, has to be leading. The good news is the concept 10 years ago, my husband talked about at the IICC in San Francisco, because when you do chiplet, think about this, the flexibility. It's like the Lego block, right? Lego block.
Yeah, it's modular. So you can, yeah.
Yeah, and then also we always focusing on ecosystem, meaning it doesn't have to be one company do everything. You can combine different companies, different fabs, whatever, optimize for the Lego block, and then you can glue together. That's Silicon Box. We develop 600 by 600 large advanced panel. You probably heard the term CoWoS info packaging. Mm-hmm. So we're the alternative for that in terms of doing very advanced, but same time, we are also be able to do the cost-effective, low power, high performance, reliability. So therefore the automotive of the world, the mobile of the world can benefit. So that's why I think a Silicon Box is, even though 3 years old, we are just last week, we announced the future expansion in Italy. Getting ready a few years from now, additional capacity. Our first factory launched in July of last year. And I'll send you some, you know, information about this. I think, Charlie, you might already receive some from me, perhaps, but I will send you some.
It's possible, but I was going to say for our listeners, semiconductors are what makes everything run, and every device you have, this computer that we're using right now to communicate, is, you know, this is what's inside of a computer. And I don't think people, I always do a lecture about what's inside of a computer, just in case, you know, because my students they come to college with varying levels of knowledge, you know, particularly a university that has mostly liberal arts students. So they don't know what's inside the computer, but the semiconductor changed the world.
Yeah,
People don't appreciate how prescient it was in the 1990s to say, you know what, there are going to be a million kinds of devices out accessing the internet, and they all need semiconductors. And so when we talk about chips and semiconductors, they're really just different sides of the same coin, and they sit on a wafer of silicon, and that's basically the motherboard of your computer. So I'm using some old-fashioned words there, but I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast, I make my students listen to it. So sometimes I just sort of have to pause and say, wait a minute, we get two steps ahead, right? We dive right in to the meat of it without giving context sometimes. So anyway, that is the most great part of the Marvell story, was the vision and foresight it took to understand, because we all walked around in the 90s saying, oh yeah, devices are going to shrink. They're going to be so many devices. We didn't do anything about it.
So
you did.
You brought up a great point. You said the motherboard. So let's take a pause. Okay. Think about what our panel level today, the Silicon Box panel level, envision. It's like the motherboard of all the little chiplets glued together. So for example, for data centers or large, you know, training kind of system and solutions, silicon maybe more, you know, it's a bigger and more complicated. So you assemble together and put out our panel. And then for more automotive, could be the little one. But the beauty is this panel. You go with a die, with a panel, and you create solutions. So essentially, with the latency, with the performance, a lot better, you see. And then instead of plastic package, right? This is absolutely a lot more reliable. So this is where the future of this chiplet revolution is happening now. That was 10 years ago, my husband's vision, and he shared with the industry, and people start to adopt. Whoever adopt and already see the progress and benefit. But the beauty is now we bring in the silicon box. By the way, a silicon box we co-founded with Dr. BJ Han, who is a very experienced, successful in the packaging industry. He was the Stats Chip Pack CEO. He's our co-founder and the CEO of Silicon Box. So if you look at the three of our combination, we have all the talent, the track record, the connection with customers, partners. By the way, fabs, customers, semiconductor companies, everybody is our partner because you have chip. Go ahead.
You talked about the future a little bit, but now let's talk about the fact that everything that we've just talked about and everything that compute is today is primarily binary. So everything is an on-off switch. But you're such a great guest to have on the program because we don't get to talk about the next step in computing, quantum computing yet. And you're going to be the perfect person to give us some insights on what is going to happen next with state-based computing, with predictive computing, when we move past the age of binary. In your mind, is it a real thing? Is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? And what's it going to look like? Because you obviously have the foresight because you did it with binary. So what's going to happen beyond binary computing?
So of course, all this deep research, you know, a lot of inventors are doing this, right? But let me tell you right now, to me, we have to solve this very urgent issue called the AI boom. Okay. AI boom is so important because you look at the successful NVIDIA, by the way, really very proud and congratulate to Jensen, who's our friends for a long time, and look at what they have done, right? It's great. So the next piece is what we're focusing is how do we help this AI boom from all the way from down to the basic chiplet to how do you come up with the packaging, right? Advanced packaging and the software. I'll use the example as Mikai. Today, Mikai, and we are leading for the advanced or the AI digital twin. And I'll send you the Mikai did the digital twin for our Silicon Box launch last July. It's amazing. It's only a short period of time, get it done at the very low cost. The key is all this smart factory, all the usage of all different industry, whether or not sports, whether or not travel, or industry, factory, and you name it. And how do you do it in such a way is actually be used on a daily basis and make an impact to people, right? So NVIDIA took the leadership. So now you see the market is defined. Sure. So it's a huge market. Everything we do is going to be related to artificial intelligence. So now what we're doing is we're driving solutions that help the industry move faster, cheaper, lower power, and all the way from software, A to Z. So from the Mikai side, and then Mikai look at, okay, how do I use the box that for training or for inferencing actually at the 1/10 of the cost today? Mm-hmm. And that's what we actually have a prototype be able to accomplish that. So stay tuned, right? You will see us launching the AI boom solution from all the way the Mikai and leveraging all the hardware that a dozen companies that Sahai and I co-founded to do all of those. And I think this is the very urgent issue in the next 5 to 10 years. Now, in parallel, with all these researchers doing advanced stuff, I think you know that's all good. Let them continue to discover. But the AI is real, and AI opportunity is here today, and we need a solution, additional players to be injected into this opportunity and to make it. Performance, of course, given, must accomplish. Cost, power.
Yeah, we completely agree with all that. Absolutely. Like, you know, we talked earlier on the show today, and we've often talked on many shows about the compute tax of AI, the fact that these things are not insignificant when you just type a prompt in and you get some visual delivery. You know, when you look at what OpenAI is doing with Sora now, people think, oh my God, I can make these photorealistic things. It's totally amazing and it's free. Well, it ain't free. There's a huge
And it's
That's
not
it.
going to be, and it's not going to be free.
Right. So the fact that you're trying to solve those problems, but you're still, but what you're saying, at least from what I'm hearing, is that you're still concerned with these immediate problems, and you think that the quantum side of the world is still on the faraway research thing. So we're not going to see this in the next couple of years in a real deployment, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And this urgent issue for AI is actually directly contribute to the industry, to the consumer, to everybody's life today.
Got it.
Because
So it's all about
as
better
you know,
packaging, smarter power management, better substrates,
that
all these things that you're working on. These are today problems. Interesting.
very, very important. And then also you heard, you know, the shortage issue, right? So that's why we collaborate, partner with all the global foundries to solve this problem, working with all the semiconductor players to solve that problem. And also we, Sahai and I, my husband and I, are personally driving over a dozen leading companies for the semiconductors, for the software, for the packaging side. And then we're solving these problems. And I think it's going to be hopefully adding happiness to the world and for a better life for everybody. You
Is
know, I mean, we have.
the biggest foundry you use now TSMC? Is that the main foundry that you work with, or are there multiple
We
foundry countries?
work with all the global ones. And I am very proud of how TSMC, you know, the accomplishment right
Is
now.
is
But I
that
mean,
is
honestly, yeah. The thing is, all the foundry needs us, right? So we all
Yeah, of
collaborating
course.
together. But I'm happy to see TSMC. I remember 1995 when we partnered with TSMC, when we first time met was Morris Chang, and he was very kind, and he immediately recognized me, like he said, I like you couple. You know, he immediately offered what support for the foundry wafers, and also we like to invest in your company. So I'm so proud that we deliver the partnership success from investment return, from
Yeah, for
being
our listeners that
one of
don't
the
know some of
bigger,
the for our
yeah,
listeners that don't know
biggest.
some of the details, TSMC is the largest foundry in the world. They're based in Taiwan, and of course, the political unrest is a real concern for potentially the global market for chipsets because of the risk of, you know, what's going on with China and mainland China and Taiwan. And literally, arguably the most powerful single entity company in the world is not NVIDIA, and it is not Apple, and it is not Microsoft. It is TSMC, because TSMC makes the bulk of the chips that live in all of those devices you're referring to, Charlie, that proliferate the planet. The bulk of them come out of a foundry in Taiwan. So it's a pretty
Exactly.
interesting time to, you know, to keep an eye on what's going on there.
Absolutely. Great, great question. Like the dough, you know, you got to glue the dough together. You don't need a
Yes.
TSMC, you know.
So your company, Silicon Box, is a private company. So it's very, 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 very expensive to build factories for advanced technology like this. So have you raised billions of dollars?
Well, we're the humble beginning, always just like how we build Marvell, very successful. So far, I will send you some announcement. So we raised a little over $400 million, and we launched the factory last July, and October started initial production, and it's been very successful, very high yield. So this is a big milestone. So and then last week we announced Italy. We work collaborating to support the Europe region, and then partner with Italy and the government and Europe region to have our second factory in a few years established in Italy. Now, like Ted said, right, the world is slightly different. Used to be all global kind of the flow of supply chain, but now I think each major regions around the world like to have its own ecosystem. So Our first factory is in Singapore. It's a very good location to serve the world. And then the Italy one will be not only be able to serve the world, also help the local Europe region, Italy. Because if you see all these announcements, the factory, you have a ST, there's a lot of foundry there. You have TSMC opening foundry there. You have a global foundry already there, right? You have Intel open foundry. The advanced packaging is the critical missing piece. And that's where we are.
Yeah, so you de-risk by using many foundries to work on the projects, and you bring that architecture. I mean, Charlie, you probably know this, yeah. And I'm sure our listeners, some of them would know this, that part of the Biden administration's goal set was to bring this kind of foundry ecosystem into the heartland of the United States and kind of revitalize these communities that used to be in auto parts and auto design and steelworking and all these, places like Cleveland and Pittsburgh and all these things, and actually turn them into the industry of the future, which is chipsets. And it hasn't gone as well as people have wanted, but at least they're trying. So,
well, they had to give $8 billion to Intel because nobody else has. It's very hard to do this.
Yeah, and building a fab is not trivial. Yes.
And it takes the better part of a decade to stand it up. So there aren't independent. This is not something an independent company could do
unless
it's run by Waylay.
Teamwork. Yeah, we are very passionate for technology. Everything we do, we're focusing on add value and to help the industry, to help the world. So we're very proud.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. We only do half hour interviews. And at the end of the interviews, we always look at each other and say, why do we only do half hour interviews?
Yeah, we should have done more.
I know. So
tell people the websites that they can go see your latest offerings and all that stuff. Where would they learn more?
Oh, yeah. They can take a look at Silicon Box. And the company name, very easy to remember, Silicon Box. And they can go to Mikai. And when they go to Mikai website, my software AI company, and there is an ecosystem pull down menu, they can see all my ecosystem companies listed.
Right. So Mikai is MEET-KAI. And is that a
one word?
MEET-KAI.com.
Yeah,
Mikai. So it's a little, I'm not sure people hear it, so it was good to spell it out. MEET-KAI.com. As I said, Waylay identified this young man named James Kaplan, who's a really, really charming and very smart guy. And I did not.
Genius. I call him the genius.
I did not understand the relationship between what he was doing with the metaverse and AI and what you are building at Silicon Box. So that was kind of a revelation in this conversation. I often learn a lot more than my students from having these talks with people like you. So thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. It's a pleasure to see you. And hopefully we'll have a chance to meet again soon.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Ted. Thanks for the continued support. And we'll be back again next week with more fun. We'll